here's something we hope you'll really like.
The Leaders.
Senator Ted Cruz.
Thank you, Chris. It's always great to be with you.
Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Hey, thanks for having us on. I appreciate it very much.
The Newsmakers.
Folks like Peter Schweitzer.
Hey, Chris, it's great to be on with you.
Ann Coulter.
Great to be here, Chris. Thank you.
He's colossal. Stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
Their first concern is not for the security and safety of the people of this country. Their first concern is protecting their left-wing behinds.
The Signal Storm Podcast.
The more time that goes by, I think Americans are recognizing we were taken for a ride on the China virus pandemic train. When you start to recognize that medications that were deemed safe and effective, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, some of these medications, award-winning, time-tested, plenty of results, and seem to be used in other countries like India, in other countries like Japan. As a matter of fact, India was kind of the old story. Japan, this came out just, a couple months ago. In February, no, I take that back. This is February of 2022. And ivermectin shows antiviral effect against China virus, Japan's Kowa says, one of their medical experts over there. Then, of course, you have this debate over in India. They started prescribing ivermectin to adults. Every adult who wanted it could get it over in India. The World Health Organization recently issued guidelines saying ivermectin should only be used on China virus patients in clinical trial settings, saying there was very low certainty of evidence of ivermectin's effects on mortality rates and its ability to purge the virus from the body. After this, many state governments in India rejected the use of ivermectin as a treatment for the China virus. However, says this doctor, I believe there's enough evidence to show the effectiveness of the drug. A study published in the American Journal of Therapeutics, ironically, clearly mentions a large number of randomized and observational control trials of ivermectin that repeatedly reported large improvements in clinical outcomes. So this is the stuff that we were treated to, but we're not allowed to talk about because why? Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, they were tried, they were tested, they were award-winning, they were safe, and they were cheap, and they were abundant. So what I came to realize, and a lot of doctors and professionals told me this, that you couldn't have had all of these new China virus vaccines and these new treatments and therapeutics like remdesivir if you had viable alternatives to treat the virus. That's how all the emergency authorizations got put through, because you couldn't do an emergency authorization if there were other viable treatments available. So that's why hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and other more conventional treatments were poo-pooed. So they steered us into these China virus vaccines once they became available. And on this podcast, you've heard us talk to Dr. Robert Malone. He is the co-creator of the mRNA technology and says it's being misused. And there's a lot of information that's springing up out there about the use of these vaccines and what it's doing to the human body. Let me give you a BizPak review story. This is the Daily Caller News Foundation. Carolina Stanchik, an Army National Guard enlistee who suffered severe medical issues after getting the China virus vaccines, is being recommended for medical discharge, according to her testimony and documents provided to the Daily Caller News Foundation. She said she received a complete dose of the Moderna China virus vaccine between March and April of 2021, shortly after enlisting in the Virginia National Guard, subsequently receiving multiple diagnoses for conditions that have been known to follow the China virus vaccinations, according to medical documents. Her most recent physical record from the National Guard notes persistent and severe cardiac, neurological, and pulmonary issues, and refers her to a medical board that could choose to just discharge her. Her career, her military career, is over because she was forced to take a vaccine with no 3, 5, or 10-year studies behind it. Now, look, I have no problem with individuals getting out there saying, hey, look, this is an experimental vaccine. I knew the job was dangerous when I took it. So after weighing all of the risks and the rewards, I've decided to take it or I've decided not to. But being compelled to, that's a problem. Woman died of myocarditis that was likely linked to the China virus vaccine booster she received 4 days earlier, according to the medical examiner. This is coming from Channel News Asia. In Singapore, a 43-year-old woman who received the China virus vaccine booster died 4 days later. The cause of Madame Ontal Charlene Vargas' death was determined to be myocarditis and inflammation of the heart. State coroner Adam Nakota said on Friday it was likely that the myocarditis was related to the China virus booster vaccine that she had received and ruled that her death was a medical misadventure. Don't hear much of this reported stateside, do you? Here's what you do hear. You hear the World Health Organization is saying, hey, probably not a good idea to give these vaccines to the kids. And here comes the Associated Press. Claim. The World Health Organization now says China virus vaccines are not recommended for healthy children and teens. AP's assessment. False. A World Health Organization advisory group released new guidance that suggests countries prioritize continued China virus vaccinations for those most at risk, such as older people and those with underlying health conditions. So basically, yes, they're not recommending it for children because the children are not at risk unless they have a severe comorbidity. But here comes the Associated Press. It's very liberal. It's listening to government. We must inject the China virus vaccines. We must put it into your kids. We must help transition your kids if they feel pretty that day, or if they're little boys and they feel like girls, and they're little girls and they feel like boys. We must do it because it's a good liberal thing to do. This is nuts. This is nuts, and none of it is medically based. The AP's assessment. Well, come on. Now you're just getting into semantics. Folks, we try to cut through all the noise on the medical debate and some other issues plaguing this country. A man who is one of the kindest men that you'll ever meet, one of the most knowledgeable men, one of the smartest guys you'll ever meet, Dr. Benjamin Carson, former presidential candidate and a neurosurgeon. We'll hear from him coming up next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Does the state of the economy have your head spinning? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Do you ever wonder what it would be like to trust that where you get your news is accurate and pro-citizen? Well, Texas Scorecard has you covered. We give you real news for real Texans. Go to TexasScorecard.com today.
All right, my friends, let's welcome on our guest. You know him, Dr. Benjamin Carson, famed neurosurgeon. He's a former Trump cabinet member. He's the author of the book, Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. Dr. Carson, welcome back.
Thank you. Always nice to be with you.
Sir, yesterday we had you on television, and I said, you know, I'd like to talk about your book when we had an opportunity. So now that you're on radio with me, I want to talk about your book first before we get into the hot and heavy, if I could. This young man, Representative Pearson up in Tennessee, you know about the insurrectionists,
yes,
up in Tennessee.
Yes.
A few years ago, he was a clean-cut young black man who was talking about dialogue with liberals and with conservatives. And now, you fast forward, now that he sees political opportunity, he's talking as a Southern Baptist preacher and pretending it's still the 1960s, right? Can you speak to the left's weaponization of race?
Well, it's an easy thing to weaponize because, you know, you can evoke guilt on behalf of rights and victimhood on behalf of blacks. And those are very easy things to massage to your advantage. And what we have to do is really engage people in conversation. Because when you engage in conversation, you recognize how drastically things have changed in this country just in one lifetime, in my lifetime. It was so much different when I was a child. When a black person came on television and they were not in a servile role, it was a big deal. You called everybody into the living room and said, hey, come see this. Now, you have black admirals and generals and CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and heads of foundations and university presidents. I mean, we've had a president of the United States. You know, to sit there and say that, you know, things are the same and they haven't changed is absolutely absurd. Doesn't mean that we've reached nirvana, but we've made enormous progress, and our future should be built on our progress, not on our failures.
Well, you probably know the history better than most about how the communists have used this division, this racial division in America, quite effectively, and they have usurped a lot of these people and, I believe, poisoned their minds. Let me give you an example. You've got the aforementioned black lawmakers who are Democrats up in Tennessee. They are pushing to disarm the citizens of Tennessee, take away their Second Amendment rights. Of course, they're ignorant that the first gun control instituted in the United States was to take firearms out of black people's hands so they could be easily victimized by, back then, Democrat white oppressors. And now you've got black men pushing to disarm everybody. Talk about a stunning lack of knowledge of history.
And using these things to manipulate people. You know, what's going on in California right now? They see that they're losing some of the black vote. So what do? Reparations.
Uh-huh.
We'll get reparations for you. Now, everybody knows reparations never happen. It's unworkable. It's untenable. It's just ridiculous. But you hold that out as the carrot to get people to follow you.
Absolutely. And so it only makes sense in the mind of a divisive leftist to charge people to take away money from people who were never slave owners and give it to people who were never slaves. That only makes sense in the minds of somebody who wants to divide this country. And that's the left.
Right.
Yep.
And people who don't know history.
Exactly.
Because if they knew history, they would know that in the South, the vast majority of white people didn't have slaves. That was for the aristocrats. And that there were even black slave owners. People don't know that either.
Mm.
I mean, people are people. And every society since the history of the world started has had to deal with slavery. And we're not unique in that having slavery. We're unique in that we had so many people who were vehemently against it. We fought a civil war and lost a large portion of our civilization.
Right. Right. We are unique because we had the ability in this country to confront it and stop it. And I always marvel at left-wingers who hold China blameless. Of course, as you know, China hates black people, their government, and a good segment of their people. And they're also enslaving. They're a slave state,
yes.
But Democrats can't get enough love for China. They love slavery when communists do it. They love genocide when communists do it. They love racists when, as long as communists hate black people. And that really notifies everybody about what the Democrat Party is really all about. We're talking with Benjamin Carson, folks. As you know, renowned neurosurgeon, former presidential candidate, and a member of the Trump cabinet. The name of the book is Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. I don't know if you saw the social media fallout from your appearance with me on Newsmax yesterday, but it's on Twitter in particular, that sewer that is Twitter. They came at you, and these liberals are not, because they're all posting anonymously, right? They don't have to say who they are,
right,
or what their job is. But they came at you in some of the most racist and vile manner simply because you were talking. And I have known you for so many years now. You always speak in a healing manner. You're a kind man. You're a God-centered man. How do you handle I can see where they would want to come at me because I give it right back to them. But you have always been a uniting figure. How do you handle this? How do you process that?
Well, you know, my central focus is my relationship with God. and doing the things that are right. And, you know, I look at everything against the perspective of eternity. So the little inconveniences that we suffer during this life period really don't matter that much.
Wow. Folks, as you can hear from Dr. Benjamin Carson, a sincere and God-centered man, it makes the left's attack on him seem even more petty and really quite evil. Let me talk about some areas of expertise of which I know that you are well versed, of course, in the medical field. His Eminence, Dr. Fauci, has said the China virus. I know that's my nickname for him. I know, but you know you can't criticize the man because they've politicized medicine. His Eminence says. He admits the China virus vaccines, they do not stop transmission, they do not stop infection. Yet Joe Biden has dedicated, Dr. Carson, $5 billion, with a B, more taxpayer dollars to buy more of this vaccine that doesn't stop transmission and doesn't stop infection. Is that wise in your view, in your medical opinion?
It's completely unwise. And why don't they spend a little more time looking at the things that have worked? Why not ask, why is it that they've had almost no cases of COVID in Western Africa? Why is that? And, of course, if you studied that, you would see that they use hydroxychloroquine as an antimalarial, and it has a profound effect. Same thing in southern India, where they use ivermectin. Why not look at things that actually have worked and, you know, expand on those things rather than what has worked as far as the COVID vaccines are concerned is a whole bunch of people have made a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Do you think ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were artificially maligned? These are safe medications. Do you think that they were politically maligned and poo-pooed and basically stripped away from medical professionals so that Big Pharma can make a whole bunch of money?
That's one of the reasons, and recognize that the FDA had this silly rule in place that says that you cannot issue an EUA, emergency use authorization, for the vaccine if there are other viable treatments. So you had to say that there's no other viable treatment.
Wow.
And, you know, what's really interesting about all of this is, you know, the head of the FDA at that time now sits on the board of Pfizer.
Of course. You know, it's kind of like Paul Ryan sitting on the board of Fox News. I mean, there's a connection there. Dr. Carson, now let's get over to something that's really been eating at me since this whole thing started, the attack. I'm really sensitive. If you want to get on my bad side, you attack older folks or you attack young kids. The World Health Organization is finally catching up with you. You've been on my program, radio and television, saying for years now that the children have not been at risk. And we've known this from the very beginning. But, and I want to focus on this aspect, we don't have any 3, 5, or 10-year studies on the long-term impact on children's tissues for the China virus vaccines. Can you speak to those, primarily on the left wing, who were rushing out to get the jab for their children as some sort of status symbol to the American left to show they were being dutiful Democrats or dutiful compliers and basically putting their child's welfare in the back of their brain? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I would say that you should go to the website that talks about the cases and the complications associated with the vaccine. And what you will notice is that the number of complications and deaths is far greater than any other vaccine in the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not talked about. Most people don't know about all of these complications that have occurred. That's what we know now. This is probably just the tip of the iceberg. We have no idea what's going to be happening 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Because this is new technology, this messenger RNA spike protein-produced vaccine is new. And most vaccines that we're used to have had very long testing periods, have a long history, and we know what the complications and we know what the odds of a problem are. In this case, we don't know. Why would you subject your child to that?
Right. You know that there is statistically no risk for your child to be hospitalized or die unless they have a comorbidity, and then you've got to take that into consideration. But you know there's virtually no risk of long-term harm from the China virus to your child, and you know the vaccines don't work to prevent infection. So why would you put that in, not knowing the long-term impacts? And that's always been my question. Let's talk about this abortion pill controversy. As you well know, there's been a Texas judge who put the kibosh on this, basically forcing us to re-examine the wisdom, shall we say, of wide distribution of this abortion pill. The Food and Drug Administration, in a move that I found just jaw-droppingly irresponsible, in response to some of these red states restricting abortions because they want to preserve children's lives rather than slaughtering them, the FDA said, well, fine, we're going to start parachuting in this medication, even by mail. It's okay. Over the counter, by mail, it's all okay. So the federal judge put the stop on this. Let me just ask for your medical evaluation on would you be comfortable as a physician basically having over-the-counter use of this abortion pill?
Yeah, the abortion pill, you know, controversy is stimulated by the fact that people don't care about life anymore. That's the real issue here. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about it, you have a male gamete and a female gamete. They both have 23 chromosomes. They join together when fertilization occurs. Now you've got 46 chromosomes. You have a completely new individual, not part of the father, not part of the mother, vulnerable, mm-hmm. and in the safest place where they can possibly be.
Absolutely.
Then you introduce a mechanism for destroying that individual, and one that has some safety issues, which is why the judgment was made that people who are taking this abortion pill need to see a medical professional, not just mail order death, because there are complications that can occur with the mother as well. You need to make sure that there are no contraindications. So, you know, there are a lot of issues here that, you know, need to be looked at in a logical fashion, and they're not being looked at. People have made this into an emotional issue. Why is it that the left wants you to believe that a woman is not complete unless she has the right to kill another human being?
Wow.
That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any medical sense either. And really quickly, last question, Dr. Carson. When the left-wing press and Democrat socialist lawmakers get on television and say, this medication is perfectly safe and should be dispensed like candy, are they telling the truth or are they being medically dishonest?
They're being extremely dishonest. And, you know, no other medicines that have the kind of risk that this would have would be dispensed without medical supervision.
Dr. Benjamin Carson, former presidential candidate, renowned neurosurgeon, and a former Trump cabinet member. The name of the book, Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. Dr. Carson, we always appreciate the visit, sir. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.
That puts a wrap. The doctor was in, now he's out. That puts a wrap on this Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor, visit a couple of websites, please. TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com. All of the issues that are big in Texas that actually bust out of our borders and impact the rest of the country, they're going to be covered right there at TexasScorecard.com. Plus, enterprising journalism, you're not going to find any place else in media in Texas or around this country. Also, check out ChrisSalcedo.com. Once you are there, you can track down the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, The Voice of Texas, and that's simulcast all around the world on TNT Radio. You can also locate the Chris Salcedo show on Newsmax TV, 4 o'clock Eastern, until 5, Monday through Friday. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth is not measured by how much power is stolen by government, rather by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. Stay safe out there, my friends.